seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, and verses 16 and 17. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and verses 16 and 17. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit of and power of Isaiah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1, and verses 16 and 17. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. How we do need the Lord to wonderfully fulfill this word in this dark and solemn day in which we live. Would it not rejoice our hearts as I close this morning to see the Lord turn the hearts of his people from the way of this world and turn to him, the only true God? I just want to tarry a moment upon this first verse when he says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. We think of the children of Israel when he turned their captivity. You know, they were brought into Babylon because of their sin and unbelief and wickedness, and what bondage there was there. There may be those of you that feel today there are many things that bind you, and the captivity that they felt and you feel, and only the Lord, you know, can turn it. We read in that beautiful 126th Psalm, don't we, how the Lord turned their captivity. And we read, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And then later on in the psalm he says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And how we do need that, don't we? We are often bound because of sin, bound because of Satan, bound because of our own deceitful heart and the wickedness within. But oh, well, mercy when the Lord turns the hearts of his people from that bondage into sweet liberty. He could well say, the dear psalmist, when the Lord turned again, it was the appointed time. And so there was here with the glorious coming of John the Baptist and then the dear Redeemer. And how he turned the children of Israel, turn again the captivity of Zion. And then we read, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You see, it's like I mentioned this morning, the Lord sees and the world sees, the Lord's people see how we walk, how we live, but what a mercy it is when the Lord turns us. And may we be in much prayer for him to turn us. He says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. I want to go further with this text. May the Lord wonderfully speak it into our souls as he did in the day when it was declared, when John the Baptist was born. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. You know, this was a wonderful word of prophecy being fulfilled. We think of the closing of the Old Testament. You know, this word in our text is the fulfillment of what the Old Testament closed with. And it's a wonderful thing, you know, to see the Lord fulfilling what he has promised. And we read the Lord showed it through Malachi so beautifully, the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. But he speaks too of the birth of John the Baptist. And we read this, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And then, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And we see here the wonderful fulfillment, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. And just as the Lord sent Elijah to wonderfully prophesy of his wondrous works and to declare it and to manifest it right through his life, so was John the Baptist in his day, to do the same. But what about us? We read here, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. And then the words in our text, and he shall go before him in the spirit of power of Elias. Well, let us look at it a little as helped. Firstly, not only was John the Baptist to go before the dear Redeemer as the blessed forerunner, but he was to go in the spirit and power of Elias. Now, when Elijah was upon the earth, look at the wonderful spirit that so often he showed. He had the Spirit of God upon him. And so had John the Baptist. There's this blessed oneness between them, you see. If you go into the Mount of Transfiguration, you will find who was there? Moses to represent the law, and Elijah to represent the prophets of God. And their conversation was not upon what they had done in the law or in prophecy. It was all concerning the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus, his death, his resurrection. It spoke of his sufferings too. And here we find this beautifully dovetailing with Elijah. You think of the power that was given to Elijah. Firstly, in prayer. You go into Mount Carmel, when he wrestled with the Lord to manifest to the people who was the living God of heaven. And look at the power of his prayer. And what did he say? Let it be known this day that thou art God and that I am thy servant. And oh, you look how the Lord manifested to him and to the prophets and worshippers of Baal, who was the living God in Israel, by sending the fire from heaven. But look at the power and the spirit that was upon dear Elijah, just as it was upon John the Baptist. The spirit of prayer and the spirit of power in that prayer. We read in one of our hymns, don't we, the force of their united cry no power can long withstand. And there was such power in the prayer of Elijah that it pierced the heavens, and the answer came down from God, and the fire descended. And now with John the Baptist, we read in Matthew, didn't we, how when he stood and ministered there, how did he stand? Not in his own power, not in his own strength. It's a solemn thing, you know, if we do anything in our own power or in our own strength, because it will never be profitable. But oh, how dear John preached repentance to them, didn't he? He was sent to preach repentance. And look at the power there was that accompanied the word and the blessed spirit that was in it. Many were brought to repentance through his ministry. They were turned from their rebelliousness against the Lord to repenting sinners, seeking and begging for mercy. And it was through the wonderful spirit and power that was given to dear John the Baptist. And then how he preached baptism to them. And oh, how many were brought to follow the Lord and to obey his commandments through the ministry of John the Baptist. And we find here as he goes forth and preaches the word, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And he went to prepare the way of the Lord. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. But then, may the Lord, bringing it home to us today, give us the same spirit, a spirit of real prayer, of wrestling prayer, a spirit of earnest, fervent prayer. What do we read in James's epistle? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And he uses the illustration of dear Elijah, and how he prayed to the Lord that the Lord would withhold rain. And he prayed again, and the Lord sent rain into the earth. Such was the spirit and power of Elijah's prayer. It was effectual. And oh, may we in this dark and solemn day have more of that spirit and power given to pray, and then to serve the Lord, to seek Him, and to obey His voice. And He shall go before Him. And you see, let us not just apply it to John the Baptist going before the dear Redeemer, but let us bring it home to us. Do we not need the Lord to go before us? You think in all the things that concern you today, is your prayer, Lord, do go before us. And we need it in several ways, don't we? Firstly, we need it in providence. The Lord to go before us in every step of providence. You think how the Lord wonderfully sent Joseph down into Egypt. You know, those brethren, they hated him and rebelled against him and were trying to destroy his life, but they couldn't. But they sold him down into Egypt, and they thought they'd gained their victory, and they thought they'd done away with dear Joseph. But you see, the Lord was to send him before them to preserve life. We read it later on in the book of Genesis, how the Lord sent him before them to preserve life. And you think of what was going to come. The Lord knew the famine was going to come. He had dreamed that they would all come and bow before him. And every jot and tittle of that was to be brought to fruition. The Lord sent him before. And how in that time of famine, how he was in the hands of God to be used for their good. And yet they were stiff rebels and hated him. And what did he say to them? Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And oh, think of the spirit and power that Joseph had as he went before them. He was not his own spirit, he was only a poor man. What did he say to a Pharaoh when Pharaoh went to him with his dreams? Pharaoh said, I've heard that thou hast interpreted the dream of the butler and of the baker. And then he comes with his own dream. And what did Joseph say? It is not in me. And that's a lesson, you know, we've got to continually learn. John the Baptist knew it well. It's a wonderful spirit, you know, when we can say, it is not in me. God will give unto Pharaoh an answer of peace. And you look how wonderfully the Lord sent Joseph before them. He was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, a type really of John the Baptist going before. But oh, the vital thing is the Lord going before us. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. He shall go before. And may the Lord sweetly assure him your steps of providence, and then think of the steps of grace. Let us ask each one of us this afternoon this question. How did you come into the sanctuary this afternoon or even this morning? Did you ask the Lord to go before you in the coming? You know, it's wonderful when we can truly beg of the Lord to go before us into the sanctuary, that we might receive something for our soul. How many times have you come and asked the Lord that a hymn might be particularly given out, or that the servant of God might preach from the word that Lord has laid upon you maybe during the week. And you need the Lord to go before you and to reveal it and cause his servant or the deacons to give out the hymn concerning it. And it's a wonderful thing when we can see the Lord go before us in it. I use that as a simple illustration. I've told you before, but it comes to one's mind, and so I will name it. In 1972, when I received the invitation, or just prior to receiving the invitation to go to Ashworth's pastor, these words kept following me. I couldn't get away from them. It didn't matter where I went. And it was this: thou should hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And it didn't matter where I went. And it came to the Friday, and your late beloved pastor was due to preach at Staplehurst, and I said, Lord, if this is real, do go before me into the sanctuary and bring the dear servant of God with those very words. And I got delayed on the journey, held up, so I was late going to get into the chapel, and the devil said, but that's only your own thoughts. It's just your own feelings. And I was so tempted. The devil seemed to roar. And I crept into the sanctuary, and the dear servant of God was reading. And he was reading that 30th chapter of Isaiah with it in. And the devil said to me, but he won't preach from it. That's your imagination. But you know, when the dear man got up to take the text, he said, beloved friends, he said, the Lord has laid this word on me all day with such power. And he said, there's those of you here that are going to need it tonight. And then he named the text. Thou should hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you know, it just melted my heart. I felt the Lord had gone before me in the dear man being brought with it, with that word, you know. And he preached me right into it. And before he closed, he said, now, beloved friends, he said, are you going to be obedient to this word? You see, our text goes on to speak of this, how the Lord used the ministry and life and path of John the Baptist to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And now he said, are you going to be obedient to this word, or are you going to be disobedient? He said, now I'll give you an illustration. And I should never forget how he said it. He said, you know, I used to have a dear man that used to attend the chapel. And he said, on this particular day, the Lord told him in the sanctuary exactly what he got to do in his providential pathway. And he said, you know, he knew when he got up the next morning exactly what he got to do. But he said, he got up and unbelief crept in, and the devil began to work. And he said he got on his old bike to go, and instead of doing what the Lord told him, he went the other way. And he said he had to go down this road with a steep hill, and At the bottom of it was an S bend. And he said he was going down this hill, remember, going in the wrong way. And he said he got to the bend at the bottom and he said, I put on the brakes and they failed. He said he went down into the ditch and rolled over several times. He said, and mercifully he wasn't hurt, but he said when he got up, he said, I had to learn what it was to go the wrong way and to be disobedient. He said he had to get up and retrace his steps and do what the Lord had told him, not be disobedient. And he said, the message is tonight, don't get on the old bike and go the wrong way. You know, I've never forgot he said it. And you think of that, are you and I obedient to what the Lord has told us? Joseph, you know, as he went before them into Egypt, was obedient to the Lord in every step, whether it was in Potiphar's house, whether it was in the prison, or whether it was in Pharaoh's palace. We read, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Let's look at this a little further, just briefly. You know how the Lord was to use this dear man, John, in going before the dear Saviour in the journey. And as the dear man went before the Saviour, as the messenger of heaven, God's messenger, the Lord had sent him before him. Oh, he had. But you see, all what he did, dear John, was for the glory of the dear Redeemer. Oh, it was. Let us ever remember that. And the blessed power and the spirit that was with him. Really, you know, he had the mind and the spirit of Christ, didn't he? Oh, it's something I long to know more and more of, the mind and the Spirit of Christ. He said, except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. And you look at dear John, how he had the blessed Spirit of Christ. Humble, tender, ever seeking to do the Lord's will, being obedient to the Lord's commandments continually. And you think how the Lord wonderfully used him at the baptism of the dear Redeemer. It's a very sacred, isn't it, and blessed chapter what we read in Matthew chapter 3. And oh, how he came to Jordan. And we find how the Saviour spoke to him concerning his baptism. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But what did John say? John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? You know, dear John felt his unworthiness, didn't he? You know, this is one of the things the Lord would teach us if we're his. Lord, I'm not worthy. Jacob knew it, didn't he? I'm not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. I'm not worthy. And dear John felt his unworthiness to take the dear Redeemer through Jordan. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. for thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. And then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, if we may just tarry here, you know, the whole Trinity was involved in this in Jordan, and John was to behold it. There was the precious Redeemer being baptized by John. And then the seal of heaven, the Spirit of the Lord descending in the bodily form of a dove. And what does it set before us? God's approval, you see. The smile of heaven. That's a wonderful thing, you know. I continually look for it in the sacred ordinance when we go down into the water to baptize his dear children. The Lord's smile to rest upon him. The approval of heaven. And so it was here. You know, this was a wonderful token to dear John. Oh, it was. And what a favour he was to enjoy as the dear Redeemer was baptised and the Spirit descended in the bodily form of a dove and lighting upon him. And then, of course, there's that final token from God the Father. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, may we be favoured with a token like dear John the Baptist was blessed with here, and see that smile of heaven upon us. And we read this, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. It really means, in my little understanding of this, that the hearts of the fathers and of the children were to be brought, each one of them. Because it says, the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. The fathers and the children be of one heart in seeking the Lord, in serving him, in obeying him, in keeping his precepts. You look in the house, it comes to me, so I name it. You look in the house of Cornelius. And look in the house of the Philippian jailer. They all obeyed the Lord's voice. It wasn't just the fathers, it was the children too. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. And here we read that the ministry and life and walk of John the Baptist to turn the heart of the fathers to the children. So they were all one in that same concern for their souls, to be doing the Lord's will, to be obedient. They were all wrapped up in it together, the fathers and the children. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Do not we rejoice when we see, as John in his epistle said, our children obeying and following the Lord. And then he says, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, the disobedient. You know, we're often disobedient, aren't we? We disobey the Lord in this way or that way. We're not doing as he tells us and commands us. You know, there are many, and it'll take many sermons to preach of it really, commandments which the Lord gives to his dear people. Not just the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. They were commanded on the day of Pentecost to repent. John the Baptist came to preach repentance to sinners. I know what you'll say, but we got no power to repent, and it's true we haven't. But let me put it to you in this way. Do we desire to be repenting sinners? Because the Lord will give this desire. He will, Lord, make me a real repenting sinner. Truly weeping over my sin and grieving over my sin. It's a commandment. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. It was a clear commandment. And then they were to be baptized, you see. The commandment was there, given by the Lord. And then we think of that beautiful word of the Saviour. I think it was Bishop Ryle when he was questioned on one occasion about how many commandments there were in the Word of God. And the person that questioned him thought he would say, well, there's the Ten Commandments, but he said there's 11. What is it? A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that ye love one another. I thought about that a lot, you know, yesterday. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. And you think of that commandment, about how often disobedient we are to these commandments, aren't we? But here, John was to be used to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And, the wisdom of the just. You know, the Lord makes his dear people wise. They're wise unto salvation. They're wise to their condition. Before a holy God, as poor, wretched sinners, they're wise to the need of God's mercy and his pardoning love. They're wise to need salvation through none other but the dear Redeemer. We read in the book of Proverbs that the wise man Solomon spoke. He ever desired and set before us in that sacred book the need of wisdom. To be made wise unto salvation. You see, so often Solomon used two types of characters, didn't he? First, he used the foolishness of what we are by nature and how foolish we are in falling into sin and foolish we are in wandering from the Lord and the need of wisdom. We read in Psalm 107, don't we, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Now, where does that wisdom come from that the sinner needs? It all flows through a precious Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said, who is made unto us wisdom, a precious Jesus. He's wisdom to his people. Oh, he is. And so what was John to do? He was to direct the disobedient away from their disobedience to serve the Lord with all their heart and to be made wise unto salvation. The wisdom of the just, The just shall live by faith. The just shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And oh, the just, you see, are made perfect in the dear Redeemer. He's their wisdom. He's made to them wisdom. In Psalm 90 he says, Moses did, so let us number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, unto Christ. And you see, the wisdom that was given to dear John and will be given to each of his dear children, the Lord's dear children, all flows through a precious Jesus. And then he says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There were those, you know, wonderfully prepared through the ministry and life of John the Baptist, prepared for the glorious coming. What a blessed coming it was of the dear Redeemer. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, just to be brief, you know, there are many things we need preparing for. Do we not need preparing to receive the Word of God in our souls? You know, when the husbandman goes and he sows his corn in the field, he has to prepare it first, doesn't he? He doesn't just go and sow it on a load of weeds and rubbish, does he? The ground has to be ploughed and cultivated and rotivated and made ready. He's prepared for the sowing of the seed. And that's what the Lord does in the hearts of his people. He'll prepare their heart to receive it. And then he will prepare his dear people for the blessings that he gives them. You know, if you take the seed right through to harvest, it's prepared for that harvest. The Lord will prepare the corn for the combine to go in, or the reapers to go in, or the sickle to go in, as in days past. It's prepared. It won't go in until it's ready. It's prepared. And then think of it concerning our souls. We're nearly at the close of this year. A year nearer eternity than when we stood here a year ago. Are we prepared? Is your prayer and mine like the dear hymn writer when he said, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, thy spirit must thy work perform, for it is all of grace. Dear Mr. John Gosling used to say, that's my prayer every day. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there are many other ways we could look at this preparation. I'll just name one. You know, the Lord prepares his dear people for the church. And he will prepare them for it. But he'll prepare the church to receive them. And let me use a simple illustration from the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. Abraham's servant going to seek a wife for Isaac. How did the house of Laban and Bethuel receive him? The Lord had gone before. He had prepared the house of Laban and Bethuel. And when the servant came to them, what did they say? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? And then listen. For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. See how wonderfully the Lord had prepared it. Not only for the servant, but even for his camels. The wondrous work of God. And may the Lord prepare us for that great day of our departing, the great day of death, and that we may be ready, waiting for his coming. Amen.